What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Not much. What's good with you?
It's almost Friday.
It is almost Friday. It's my Friday.
Oh, yes, because you're not going to be here tomorrow.
No, tomorrow, I, Joey Noel, Jean-Vieux Saint-Ange Miller, and Portillo Miller go to Maryland for the Extra Life 2, the sequel to last weekend, going out there to stream for 24 hours.
It's going to be hard to top.
With the Irrational Passions folks for Team Kinda Funny. You can watch it, of course, on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/irrationalpassions, I assume. But we'll be hosting it. Yeah. What are your weekend plans, though?
This weekend is the Day of the Devs here in San Francisco, which is an annual event where a bunch of independent developers get together and showcase their games. Double Fine, a flagship sponsor of that. Yeah. So probably going to swing by there, see some games.
Sure.
And then I have a lot on my pile to play.
Yeah.
A lot.
This year's getting crazy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to chip away at that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then maybe sleep a little.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a novel concept thing. For the busiest lady in the business. Yeah. Getting out there, actually catching some sleep. Yeah. I feel like I'm starting to make progress. I got the Horizon DLC done. Started Call of Duty last night. Started playing Switch version of Doom. Going to go get moons on this plane ride over there. Going to hopefully play some Destiny, some Friday 13, stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, I do also want to remind people, since we're talking about some housekeeping, it is Veterans Day, and there's a lot of fantastic streams that are happening over on Twitch to benefit different military charities. One of my personal favorites that I do work with is Stack Up.
Stack Up.
They are great. They will be doing a lot of ongoing streams to help raise funds, to deliver care packages to troops in active duty zones, to troops that are in VA hospitals. And if you guys want to learn more, you can visit them on Twitter at stackup.org or at stackup.org or at stackup.org on the web.
Good call. Veterans Day always sneaks up on me.
Yeah, it does. Because it's on a Friday.
Yeah. Fridays, man, I tell you, they're weird. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about, giving you perspective, answering your questions, reading bad PSN names, and having fun with you, the best friends. If you like that, you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. But we don't look at the chat. We're making a polished podcast. If you want to be part of the show, you got to go to kindafunny.com/KFGD. We read your questions from there. If we screw something up during the show, your job is to tell us we're wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Correct us there, then we set the record straight at the end of the show. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe.
So before you go to...
I was going
to
say, let's start at the top.
Yeah, before
Andrew
you go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong.
You snake, Andrew Renee.
Veterans Day is, for the record, on Saturday, November 11th. I did get that wrong. And it's stack up. So stack-up.org is the website.
So two shows in a row where you want to lie to people, huh?
I didn't lie to people.
Big Brain on Brad writes into kindafunny.com/KFGD to take you to task, Andrea Renee. On yesterday's show, Andrea mentioned the Xbox One X had a feature to suspend gameplay and have it instantly back on with a controller. She mentioned the PlayStation 4 Pro doesn't have this. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro, and I go into rest mode during a game. I can power it on, and I am right where I left off. Is there a difference with this or the Xbox One implementation? I'm pretty sure this was on the original PS4 as well, and Xbox One.
It was. That was a 100% mistake on my part. It just slipped my mind because I haven't had that feature turned on because I think it got turned off somewhere along the line because it's tied to the power save settings. Mm. So you have to go into your power save settings and specifically make sure that the suspend feature is on. But yes, it is available on PS4 and PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
So that was my mistake. I was not intending to insinuate that how dare PlayStation not have this feature.
As I told you off camera,
it just slipped my mind.
The problem with you is that you're so good at your job that you said it so commandingly that I was like, oh, I guess it sounds a little bit different because you were talking about like hit the button and you're right back into it, which I've had PlayStation 4 games where I put it in suspend mode and come back and for a second it's like whatever, Horizon Zero Dawn's load screen, not load screen, but like key art and then I'm back into the game. So I thought that was the reference you're making, and I think it's why nobody corrected you and you're wrong because it sounded like it moves faster than it did on PlayStation. But either way, you're a charlatan, and we've now dragged you out into the light of day to show you this.
The thing that's so shocking to me is how all of our watchdogs in the Twitch
Capitalist
chat
pig.
Missed it and
drunk
didn't correct me, and you're wrong. Not a single person was like, yo, Andrea.
Yeah. They were all
but a lot of people came to me on Twitter afterwards.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at the YouTube comments, but I bet you they're there too.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. We're all best friends here. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
And I'm adding a special fifth one just for Kevin.
Oh, regular dozen.
Kevin, here's your breaking news for you, all right?
Uh-huh.
My computer doesn't see the printer anymore. The printer and my computer have broken up again. I tried to find it, couldn't find it. So that's just a Roper Report for you, Kevin.
That sounds more like a task you've given in.
It's not a task. I'm just breaking news from the back room while Kevin was running the morning show. I'm just letting him know. Number one on the Roper Report, however, is GameSpot has an excellent Shannon Loftus interview up. I'm calling it radical transparency. I'm going to read excerpts from this, but you should go to GameSpot.com and give it a read as well. Well, movie, because let me give you even more the context. I get this question all the time of why do game publishers work in secrecy so much? Other industries don't do this. Now let me read you the article, Andrew Renee.
Okay.
While movie studios might let fans know about films coming years down the line, for example, we know the fifth Avatar movie is coming in 2025. I wouldn't hold your breath. Video game companies are very rarely that transparent when it comes to their release schedules. One part of this culture of secrecy might be for competitive reasons. Announcing a new project years in advance could give other studios time to react and respond. But another major element to this is that games and movies are not the same in how they are produced. Shannon Loftus, who heads up first-party production at Xbox, spoke with GameSpot recently about the culture of secrecy in gaming, when the right time to announce a game, and the pain of cancellations. Quote, games are a highly experimental medium, Loftus said. And it's a line that we have to walk between talking to gamers about the games we would like to make and knowing that we are going to be able to deliver them. The worst part of my job is when I have to break promises. Obviously, we had Crackdown 3 planned for a November 7th launch, and we had to announce a few months ago that we had to move it. I'm very conscious of the fact that hurt people. Folks were very excited, and they got very disappointed, and it's not something I like to do. Jumping ahead in the article, talking about this and how it's different. Charles Randall, who worked at BioWare and Ubisoft, addressed gaming's culture of secrecy in a Twitter post that went viral earlier this year. He said such secrecy exists because of the toxic culture in gaming. Quote, you know why we have to keep what we're doing secret from the public? Because of the toxic culture surrounding it, he said. Randall acknowledged that marketing has some role to play in why games are kept a secret for so long, but he still called for letting the public know more about games before release. Quote, God help you if you let any amount of the public know what you are working on before it's set in stone, he said. One new trend in gaming that is changing things is the early access model. Games can be announced and released before they are even finished, and this can be extremely lucrative. Loftus said Microsoft is studying that very closely, and the company is already involved in that space with its games preview program. It sounds like you can expect further investment in that space from Microsoft going forward. Intriguingly, Loftus said she would like to see a game developed with radical transparency, which is pretty far from the norm for Microsoft and other big-name companies. Quote, game design in general is turning more into a dialogue rather than a monologue, and finding ways within our ecosystem to use our early access program, Game Preview, to get gamer input. God damn it, Kevin. It, I think, is one possibility, she said. I think radical transparency is something I would love to try at some point as a game developer. Like, hey, here's three takes on a concept. Which one do you want? Pretty sure Phil Spencer would be supportive. End quote. What do you think?
This is a really interesting idea that I think looks good on paper, mm-hmm. but when it comes to in practice, it would not work because, as you know, from working with an audience as large as the Kinda Funny Best Friends are, people just have so many different ideas. You're never going to please everybody.
Yeah.
And so trying to crowdsource the creative concepts for a single product, you're ultimately going to upset people because you are going to make some kind of a voting system. And when you lose your creative identity because you've allowed the audience to have such a huge input, I think that is inherently problematic.
Right.
So I really love the idea of this radical transparency and the idea of like co-producing the game with your audience. And we're seeing more of that with early access.
And even I would even go as far as say with Kickstarter. I think when Kickstarter first started, it was very much backer updates. What would you like to see? How would you want to go? What's your reaction to this system?
The other problem though with something like that is that so much of the audience has no background in game design or game development, mm-hmm. that while they may ask for certain things, they may not realize that what they're asking for is not feasible or possible to do from a production standpoint.
Sure.
And that will then set you back, because then you're constantly having to explain to your audience why you can't deliver the thing that they're asking for,
yeah.
which is probably one of the major reasons why game development is secretive, because they want to be able to iterate in the background without having to constantly change their message, without promising a feature and then withdrawing the feature and having to face the wrath of their audience. I mean, we're seeing, like, so one of the games that I'm close to that was in early access and I got to see forums and see patch notes and see the back and forth dialogue was Paragon,
yeah.
when it first released, and watching all of the change that that game has gone through and seeing just how frustrating it was for, you know, the audience when the dev team was like, hey, like, we're going to fix this thing or change this thing in a dramatic way, and watching it really split and divide mm-hmm. the fan base mm-hmm. of that game, because some people were on board for the change and some people weren't. It's one of the, you know, pitfalls of early access. And I just, like I said, good on paper, I don't think this would ever work in reality.
Yeah, there's got to be a middle ground, I would feel, that, and I don't want to say a reality show, I mean, even though I guess Double Fine kind of did that with their documentary series, right? But where you're not so much crowdsourcing the information, but letting them see how the decisions come to be and how it all happens. Because you're right, with any creative endeavor, I think what you need is someone steering the ship and that they have a vision. And I feel like, you know, even like you brought up with Kind of Funny, where we're, you know, we're a blip on the radar, we're nothing, but we, our own audience all the time has these discussions of like, I love guests on the podcast, I hate guests on the podcast. And so like, if you serve one, you automatically go against the other, and trying to find that, mm-hmm. if you're just running back and forth trying to respond to criticism, you're just running in a circle, you're never going forward. You have to have a vision for what you're doing and push forward with it. And I think I have seen games on Kickstarter that are still on Kickstarter and just in this limbo of constantly talking about what they want to do and where they're going, but not actually doing it. And that's the other huge part of it, where why you've seen a rise in community managers, right? Is the reasoning that you can't be making the content, be doing something creative, and be responding and talking and communicating to your community effectively, because one right. comes at the sacrifice of the other, and that's trouble. It is that interesting thing of I hate the fact that Charles Randall here is talking about, you know, the toxic culture in gaming, but I understand what he's saying, right? And I understand as well, like, if you are anybody who's making something creative, whether it be a video game or YouTube or whatever, and you put out that idea, that kernel of the idea you want to make, there's going to be detractors to it that then hurt your confidence, and maybe and then you question yourself, and maybe you don't do that and you back off it and you never get back to it. Whereas if you sit there and you work and prototype and you have friends and, you know, colleagues that you're there to be the red team on it and go back and forth, eventually by the time you come out 3 years later and expose here's what it is, people don't know what it was going to be. Because I feel like there's been so many developers who've said to me in interviews or something, basically the effect of, you know, when you get a game, that's 70% the vision of what we wanted. 30% of it had to get cut off and left behind. And that's going to be, like you're saying, hard for a lot of gamers to understand from the onset, because no one else is doing it.
Right.
If you were watching a game come and they were talking in the very beginning, these lofty ideas that they wanted to do, and this is something that happens with Kickstarter games all the time, what they envision, how it's going to be, and you get the final product and it's not like that. In a lot of ways, you feel like, okay, well, they screwed us over, when in reality, it's just how games get made.
Yep.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all continues on like this. I love the idea of developers being more... Oh, Andrea's leaving the show.
I'm not. I'm just moving this chair.
Do you not like the new chair? How's the new chair treat you?
It's the... Hold on. The back of it is a little bit farther back, which if I was wearing a lavalier,
yeah, yeah.
like they do on the morning show,
sure.
I could sit back and only like lean forward if I was making a point, but yeah. because of the style of microphone.
Do you want me to push you in more? Or are you pushing as far as you need
to push
in?
I think I'm in as far as the desk will physically allow me to get.
Okay.
So we're good. Okay. I just needed to go in a little bit farther. No,
this is the kind of feedback we need. You know what I mean? We don't know. I like the chair.
Only if we can use lavaliers.
Oh.
Because the problem is these microphones give you amazing crisp audio, but you got to get right up on them. Because if I talk back here... It's a much quieter.
What if we did it like ring announcers, though, and we brought it in from over the top, and you just help? Right? That'd be awesome.
To get some really fancy boom arms?
Well, not even boom arms, just hanging on the XLR.
Oh. Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? You come up like this, get that thing, and then there. You could even just suspend it from this. Like, look at that.
But
doesn't that look cool?
It looks so cool.
It's like totally blocking your face.
Nobody wants to see my face. Trust me. There's enough there's enough videos of my face out there if that's what everybody really wants to see. Number two on the Roper Report. It's a short one from Newsweek. Sledgehammer apparently wanted to make Advanced Warfare 2. This is Eric Hirschberg, of course, Activision CEO, talking to Newsweek. Sledgehammer wanted to make Advanced Warfare 2. He said, told Newsweek. A sequel to Call of 2014's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare seemed obvious, as it was regarded positively by fans and critics alike. But Hirschberg and his colleagues saw a deeper trend emerging from their million-strong audience. Many fans called for the franchise to return to its real history roots. The first six installments of the multi-billion dollar franchise were all set during World War II, and he was confident that Sledgehammer would be the studio to go there. Quote, "We knew they would become historians, that they would tackle it with authenticity, give it tremendous care, and we also knew they would capture the unspeakable scale of World War II." Quick blurb. Interesting to see how the idea actually came to be, because I know for, years, people have been saying, or not even years, but most recent years, people have been calling for, let's go back to World War II, let's do all these different things, and stop going into the future cyber exoskeletons, we're in space, and all this other stuff.
Yeah. I think this was an incredible business decision in the positive. Like, yeah. This is why he's CEO, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it paid off, right? We're talking about the fact that yesterday on the show that it sold double what Advanced Warfare,
Infinite Warfare
mm-hmm. did in its first week on sale. So clearly paying off. And then last night I started it, and it's that thing of, I found myself being like, yeah, all right. Have you started it or not played it?
I've watched John play almost the entire campaign.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it starts and it does like the whole, like, you know, real footage and the World War II logo and them giving a really great narration to it. And then I played the first two chapters. I think I started the third. And it's very much like, yeah, all right, cool. This is what I want out of this. First off, the game's stunning. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's incredible.
I like the characters. Like, it's what I want. I kept talking about how they kept selling it as Band of Brothers, and you're playing it. It's like, okay, I get those archetypes and where we're working, and them, you know, already I'm starting to play on my, you know, feelings for who I like and who I don't like in the group. I'm like, yeah, all right, it's beautiful, it's cool, it is that fun thing of like, all right, like, I'm learning a little bit of like, all right, I haven't thought about World War II since, like, I guess the last Call of Duty, but probably since history in college, of like actually going through it. And now that it is there and it is this breathtaking, crisp, amazing 1080p, it's so fucked up to sit there and play and be like, fuck, this really happened. My grandfather was doing this. Like, what?
It's really powerful in that way. And I think that Sledgehammer should be commended on the fantastic job they did making sure it was authentic and true to life and really giving the game the gravity and the seriousness that it needed to tell such a really historic story.
Yeah.
Because they took so much care to make sure that they got it right, because these are real places and based off of stories, and like, there's so much history there. They were the right studio to get this done and to do it the right way. And I think that they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And that's not something I say about every Call of Duty campaign. I understand usually how great, stunning they are and blah, blah, blah. But like, oftentimes they just go into places I don't really want to go. Or even with Infinite Warfare, I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, some of the Naughty Dog guys worked on it. Once we got into space and stuff, I was just like, this isn't what I want out of a shooter right now.
It was interesting hearing Gary's criticism of the show or of the game on the show yesterday, of him kind of feeling like it was more of the same.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, it just feels boring in a sense. And I didn't get that impression at all. And I think that has a lot to do with how this particular war was so poignant for millions of people around the world that you kind of can't take too many risks as far as gameplay goes with this, because then you're floating, crossing the line of being too radical.
Sure.
And you're going to get into that position where you can't appease everybody, right? Like, you can't appease the people who want you to make it historically accurate, and you can't appease the people who want you to innovate and do something different with gameplay. And while I agree with Gary on the sense that, you know, the core gameplay isn't radically different, I think the amount of polish that they put into the game is outweighs them trying to innovate from the gameplay. And we've seen other studios do this too. If you even look at a studio like Naughty Dog and what they've done with the Uncharted series, they didn't need to radically innovate the gameplay because they made it with such a level of polish that is a feat in and of itself.
For me, I think what's interesting about why I'm playing it and it doesn't feel like well-worn territory is that when I look back at PlayStation 2 probably was when I was still playing these first-person shooters, Medal of Honor and Call of Duties, and being in World War II. That was so long ago and such a different time for me, where literally, like I'm saying, and I don't know how much of it is the graphic fidelity or whatever, but I think there's a big difference for me being a 34-year-old playing through this now and being like, fuck, like my grandfather did this. And like even being in a Nazi bunker and being like, man, to be inside this thing, like somebody built this for the express purpose of killing people that were trying to come on the beach. And like, how did they know to build it? And like questions and just wrapping my head around what really happened in a way that I think when I was playing back on PlayStation 2, I remember there's all these jokes, not like we're making fun of the war, but like we have inside jokes, me and my friends to this day, about how this one time Poe was watching me play, I think it was Medal of Honor or Call of Duty, and I had the sniper rifle drawn and two guys ran into it, and like I was trying to protect my friend and I was just like, I don't know what to do, and Poe's like, shoot the fucking gun, like shoot anyone, don't, I froze under pressure in a video game, the two, but it's like, now that I'm playing there, sitting there, you know, Portillo on my lap, just engaging in this story, it's a different vibe for me than it was when I was a teenager in my basement playing it and not really thinking about the gravity of what was going on.
I think a lot of that has to do with, as we get older, we start to see the seriousness of life.
Sure.
And everything that entails, and kind of appreciate like the fragility of the human condition. Sure. And so when you play a game like this that does have such a huge sense of realism, and doesn't, this is why I struggle with a lot of military shooters, because they feel so realistic. And this one in particular, the campaign feels real, right? Yeah. Like the graphics are so lifelike and the stories are so well researched that it has a weightiness to it that really kind of moves you and hits you in a way that you don't see very often in video games of this nature.
Yeah, it's stellar. I can't wait to get back to it tonight, and then probably after Extra Life to play more of it. I did crack up though, because the one thing I remember from the old games is like that one soundbite they had of MG42, and like today when I was running through the trenches last night in Chapter 2, MG42, I'm like, oh my fucking god, not this again. But it's accurate, I guess. Number 3, CD Projekt Red will probably return to the Witcher world at some point, but don't expect Witcher 4. This is via IGN. Speaking to Strefra in Westeros. And translated by IGN in Poland. See, you just keep going. There's another one coming up. CD Projekt Red CEO Adam
Kaczynski.
Really? Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. Explain that while the company sees Geralt. Witcher trilogy as definitively finished, the company still owns the IP. Kaczynski says the company will probably return to the world of The Witcher because both fans and investors would be disappointed if it didn't. That presumably means the game's set around different characters or in a different time period, although Kaczynski didn't go into any more detail.
I mean, how could they not return to that world? They did such a great job building it out. It would be a travesty to just... Yeah. Say goodbye forever.
But is it one of those games? My God, I haven't played The Witcher 3 in so long. Not Cersei. What was her name? You remember this? His partner, the girl he raised, but wasn't his daughter.
Oh, someone, yeah. I'm blanking out.
Witcher 3. Tess was my girl. No, Triss. God, I haven't played The Witcher 3. Bringing me up a character. I need Ciri. A character. It was Ciri? All right, yeah. Cool. Wait, so there was Ciri.
Triss, Yennefer.
That's the other one I'm hung up on. God, I haven't played this game forever. But yeah, I guess you go back and be Ciri then, you think? Because everybody loved her so much in Witcher 3.
I think that there's a lot of opportunity for them to either use characters that they've already pulled from, you know, the lore, or to create something different within that world. You know, create maybe like an original character set within that universe. That would be interesting too. But clearly with how popular it was, I mean, you kind of... If it ain't broke.
Sure. Well, it'd be interesting what Cyberpunk does, right? Like, that's the one.
If that game's ever coming out.
It'll come out. They don't even need to worry. They got this Gwent game. They got money coming in from all angles.
They got GOG. They're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Sit there and just make this game, Cyberpunk, as good as everybody wants it to be. And we'll see. And then bring out the Siri game, probably. Number 4. This is just a fun one that I got from GameSpot. South Park Phone Destroyer is out today on iOS and Android, and it mocks itself at launch. Everybody knows when South Park starts, it has that whole thing of like, all the voices are bad, it's offensive, it shouldn't be consumed by anybody. This game starts and says, this game contains both in-app purchases and the option to watch ads for rewards. To disable the ability to make in-app purchases, adjust your device settings. In-app purchases cost real money and are charged to your account, and for those reasons, this game should not be played by anyone. I thought that was, as usual, pretty on point for South Park humor for a video game.
Indeed.
Good on them. Andrea.
Yes.
I'm stoked about whatever's going to happen in The Witcher world for all the characters that I can't remember their names.
Are you though?
I liked The Witcher a lot. Never made it out of Act 1. Still put like 30 hours into it, but enjoyed myself. However, if I want to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
This is a big one. Kevin's over there playing a Switch right now. Kevin, did you know that today Hulu is out on Switch? The first ever video app in America streaming on the Switch is Hulu. There you go. Lauren Evans writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, so apparently Hulu comes to Switch today. This has me very excited for more video streaming services like Netflix, parentheses, hopefully with a video download feature so we can watch on planes. With these coming out, what other apps do you think the Switch needs? Love everything you guys do. Lauren Evans.
I mean, if you have your micro SD card ready to go, maybe you can download episodes.
Yeah, most people will. Come on now. Get ready. You want to play all these games. You need it. What?
They're super compressed.
Oh, they're super compressed.
The downloads?
Yeah, the Netflix downloads are super compressed.
Oh, they don't look good? No, I mean,
they don't look great. But even on this guy, they're probably even more compressed because I was talking on a 1080 screen. So the files are pretty small. Like an average TV show is like shockingly small.
Right. Good to know.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't need any. I mean,
play games.
I like that my Switch is my game machine. I don't need it to try to be competing with the PlayStation 4. When I had my Vita, right, and I had Netflix and YouTube and all these different apps on there, I rarely ever used them. The idea that Lauren brings up here of being able to actually use the video download feature, I'm like, okay. That's interesting because I even when I carry my iPad, I don't do that, but I probably should if I really wanted to watch something.
Right.
But that's just not who I am, I guess. I like that my Switch is a game machine. It's got a million games on it and I'm ready to go. I don't need them to get in there and bog it down and put Voodoo on it and all these other things. I just don't need it. And I don't think enough people are using it as their primary only system to really worry about it. But Lauren wants it, so who knows?
I mean, it's a nice added feature. I don't think it's going to be a system seller for them, but you know, bonus features, never a bad thing.
Sure.
As far as apps that I want on Switch, I mean, I'm like you. I don't really care what apps come to Switch because I play games on Switch.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to like go there, I mean, Virtual Console.
Of course. Okay. Well, yeah, sure.
But as far as like third-party apps from other people that we see on other platforms, I never really use them on the Wii U. So I don't know. Nothing. I'm good.
Okay.
What about you? Anything?
No. There's going to be the rare occurrence where I'm like, yeah, okay, download would work. Or sure, WWE Network if I'm in some weird hotel room and I wanted to watch. But it's like, those are such one-offs. And I usually have the iPad with me. Like, I feel like I'm carrying the Switch with me to play games.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to replace every device like so many other devices did.
True.
Getting back to games. Remember, it's motherfucking Thursday. So if I don't read a thing, it's Switch. Because there's a million Switch games is always on the eShop. But Ace of Seafood comes to PlayStation 4. Cursed Castilia. Castilia EX comes to PlayStation 4.
Oh my gosh, what?
Koi DX. This is where the Switch
Maldita
games start. We're already past it. Castilla. You had your chance.
Oh my gosh.
Maldita Castilia comes EX.
Maldita Castilla.
No, you're making that up. You're all making it up.
Where's Andy Cortez?
Here's where the Switch
game
starts. Oh, Kevin's over there leaning back, playing a Switch, yelling at me. These are Switch games. Koi DX, Maria the Witch, Octodad, Dadliest Catch, Spell Spire, Super Putty Squad, Talamere. Uno. Octodad. Yeah, Neo Geo Street Hoop, Rockin' Racin' Off Road DX. Then Bonds of Skies comes to the eShop for 3DS. RTO comes to eShop for 3DS. Lords of Thunder comes to the Wii U Virtual Console. Dead by Daylight is adding that Nightmare on Elm Street DLC to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Costs $7.99. South Park Phone Destroyer is out on iOS and Android. And then Serious Sam 3 VR BFE comes to Oculus and Vive. What is that one? Do you know?
I don't.
Oh, you added it, though.
Good job. I got a press release about it.
Thanks for looking up.
No problem.
I like working with you. New dates for you. IGN says Batman, Sins of the Father is a comic book miniseries coming in February 2018 based on the world of Batman, the Telltale series. It will bridge the gap between season one and season two of the game. And as somebody who likes the game a lot, that's interesting. I didn't feel like much had happened, but cool. More Batman's always good. Speaking of more Batman, Gregway, Batman, the Telltale series is coming to Switch. This is season one on November 14th. Do you know if you put that on there? Is it all episodes or is it just one? Do you know?
Great question. Let me double check real quick.
You do that. I'll keep going. Ascent Infinite Realm from Bluehole is an MMORPG that's in beta the first half of 2018, closed beta. Rec Room, PlayStation VR, is coming to open beta on November 21st. Everybody likes this Rec Room, Kevin. We're going to have to do stuff with it, you and me.
Sounds great.
All right, good. Transcripted is coming to the Nintendo Switch on the 23rd of November. They're European, obviously, by saying it like that.
First full season available digitally and at retail. Okay. $39.99.
Perfect. So
all five episodes.
And then It's Quiz Time is coming November 28th to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam. Meanwhile, on Deals of the Day, thank you for the Mario. That was a good Mario over there, Kevin. Deals of the Day. Lawbreakers is having a free weekend right now. You can start it this Thursday all the way through Sunday over on Steam. Play for free. Enjoy the Lawbreakers. I believe it's discounted too on a couple of the platforms.
Yeah, so you play for free, and then it's if you want to purchase it, it's 50% off, I believe.
Nice. Now, let's check in with you, the readers. Remember, you need to be part of the show by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like TJ Edwards did. TJ Edwards says, with gaming going the route of iterative consoles, do you think GameStop could embrace the cell phone company model? I currently wait for price drops before buying my new consoles, but if GameStop had a cell phone-esque plan of contracts slash doing payments with a two-year option of a possible upgrade, I would be fully on board.
Technically, GameStop has this already. It's called the GameStop Power Up Rewards credit card.
Explain, I didn't know this. Oh, you mean just like you're paying it on a monthly?
Exactly. Okay. So you get the credit card, you put the console on your credit card, you pay it off, you know, and you have interest. So, I mean, that's essentially what you're doing at a cell phone company, except instead of paying interest, you pay for service. Mm. So they're getting you that way.
Okay.
So instead of paying like just a fee, you're paying, you know, service fees.
What do you feel about the, you know, ability to upgrade then if it came out?
I mean, you can technically do that too. I mean, they have trade-in deals all the time. Yeah. That's what I did with my Xbox One, my day one edition, traded it in because I'm a Power Up Rewards Pro member. And like, for the record, GameStop is not paying me to say this. I am no longer an employee of GameStop. I haven't been since January. So I just really like this program and I use it because I get trade-in credit and then I can use that credit to buy gift cards. I can buy PSN credit or XBL credit, or I can buy other games, or more recently I've been buying toys because like the toy selection from their integration with ThinkGeek has been great.
Yeah, GameStops are like, as somebody who hadn't gone to a GameStop in a while because I just don't shop retail often, like going into one now, you're like, what the hell? This is like... like the San Francisco one has a whole level, like two levels down on Market Street, and the downstairs level is all like toys and Ruby figures and stuff. You're like,
well,
wow,
that's a standalone ThinkGeek location now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting, interesting.
I think they had their grand opening just recently.
Oh, I haven't been there since that part.
But yeah, so I mean, technically they kind of have that as an option. I mean, but of course it requires credit, but you can't open a cell phone line without them checking your credit either. Mm. So, I mean, it's just like, it's pretty much the same thing.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess it's a non-in-house. Well, it is in-house, but it's not in-house in the way you think of AT&T. Because I thought when I read that, that's a cool idea. But you're right, I guess. I just did the same thing for my PlayStation 4 Pro, where, I came in and, like, my original Xbox One, my old PS3, like, a bunch of games. I was just like, here you go. And I got the PlayStation 4 Pro and the same idea. And I'd use the rewards card thing you were talking about, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it exists now. It's just, I mean, the concept of it is a little bit hard for you to grasp. But like, if you think about your cell phone, you're taking a line of credit out with AT&T or Sprint or Verizon, just like you would be taking a line of credit out with whether it be the Best Buy credit card you get or the Target credit card you get or whoever you're buying your console from. Almost all of the major retailers have lines of credit available for you to use.
Get that credit. Do it. What could go wrong?
Listen, having credit is important. If you want to increase your credit score, you have to have multiple lines of credit. Just make sure to not use more credit than you can afford to pay off. And don't close your lines of credit. You have to keep them open.
Forever?
You know, ultimately, yeah. Because here's the problem. They ding you if you close your lines of credit. So if anybody ever tells you to open it and then just close it, don't do that. That's not good for your credit. Because when you pay off your loans, and I don't want to get on a tangent here, but...
No, you're like teaching us how to adult.
For example, if you have a car and you have a car loan, or if you have student loans, like so many of us do, once you pay those off, it's considered closing a line of credit, even though you think you're doing the good thing by paying off your loan. Well, technically, the credit bureaus ding you for that, for closing a line of credit.
These sons of bitches.
I know. It's frustrating. You got to play the game, though, if you want to be an adult.
I don't want to be an adult. Doruk writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey there, Greg and Andrea. First of all, sorry for the long post. Again, it's not that long. Don't worry. But today I wanted to talk about what I like to call Boner Jam 2017 Part 2. November 17th. While the first Boner Jam will absolutely go down in history, it's probably one of the best days in entertainment history, with Stranger Things 2, Assassin's Creed Origins, Wolfenstein 2, and Super Mario Odyssey, and in my country, also Thor Ragnarok, launching. The second one is also looking like it'll be a hell of a day, with Marvel, Netflix's The Punisher, The Justice League, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Skyrim for Switch and PSVR, and Star Wars Battlefront 2 all launching on the same day. These 2 days seem too good to be true, and I simply do not understand why they all decided to come out in the same time. I mean, sure, it's amazing to have insane days like this as consumers, but I only have so much time and money. I cannot imagine launching alongside heavy hitters across all media in these products. Why not just move the date? Wolfenstein 2 not selling as well just proves my point and saddens me, since it is what everybody seems to be wanting from single-player games and all that dying talk. But why not just push it to last a few days? I don't understand why any of this happens. Why is it happening? What's going on? I don't think this is a good day. It isn't Boner Jam 2. All right.
Can I just give you some props, because you read that pretty flawlessly, and there are several errors in this post in the show notes.
Dorook, he's
Greg Miller, pro host, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. He's one of our many international listeners, and I understand where he's going, so I can fill in the gaps as I go. Thank you for writing in, of course. Thank you for dumbing it down to my language so I can actually read your question.
I think that a lot of these games hit different audiences, which is why it probably won't be that big of a deal. Right?
Looking at it right, I feel like Star Wars Battlefront 2 is the big one in terms of games. Yep. Pokemon, obviously, right there as well. But like Skyrim on Switch and all that stuff is going to be cool, but I don't think it's going to be...
It's such a small market that's going to be buying those.
Obviously, I think Justice League is the big tentpole movie franchise that's going to touch so many people that doesn't touch gamers necessarily. Right. That's a Venn diagram situation. Punisher jumping into the fray there, I think, is capitalizing on the fact that everybody's talking about comic book movies today. Why not put out our comic book show? And also something I'll do fine on its own.
But... generally, very few Netflix series have the ability to move the needle on launch day. Mm-hmm. I think now we're getting to a point where Netflix is doing so much original content that
you get to it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of binge watching. Like, if I don't find it on launch day, I can watch it all a week later and it's just as good. But very few series, like, the day they come out, I must go and watch. Like, immediately.
Sure.
It's pretty much like Orange is the New Black and Stranger Things.
I like Orange is the New Black too, and I didn't even get through this latest season.
Really?
It was so good. It was like a stealth launch.
It's like the whole season was really excellent.
Because this is, they pick up with the prison riot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched like 2 or 3 episodes and
then
just got
busy. Well, and the whole season takes place over a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I gotta get back to it. Ren! From Port St. Lucie, Florida, writes in and says, "Good morning, Greg." And I assume Andrew, he didn't say that, but I'm putting Andrew in there. "I just finished watching the Kinda Funny Games Daily for November 8th, 2017, and I have to respectfully disagree with your view on Miranda's COD WW2 review on IGN. The statement of, quote, 'play something other than a white American male,' end quote, is derogatory, and there are much better ways it could have been worded. For example, in the same review, she mentioned seeing multiple/all races represented. Also, the statement of, quote, 'at least two genders' carries the subtext of three or more. A more opinion-inclusive way of saying this would have been, quote, 'male and female,' or simply say 'two genders.' I realize the media, including games media, is primarily left. However, as a conservative gamer, I would appreciate if my opinions were treated with the same respect as others. Thank you for great content. Please do more party modes on Friday the 13th, and have a great day." I respectfully disagree with you, Ren. As I brought up yesterday, if you're joining us and didn't see yesterday's episode with me and Gary, Miranda Sanchez reviewed Call of Duty, gave it an 8. In the review, had two statements that I guess she's getting flogged for on the internet. At least one person wrote in to talk about it for her. Again, here are the call-outs. Miranda writes, "Though their appearances were fleeting, I appreciate the few diverse characters that highlight the work of soldiers and resistance group other than white American men in World War II. She then continues with the gender part. This is later in the thing, talking about multiplayer. "Avatar customization is in a good spot, too. Yes, women belong in WW2 multiplayer. Anyone questioning the realism should worry about this issue long after they've dealt with the Nazi zombies mode, to say nothing of bunny hopping Wolverine-like regenerating health, and about a million other things that didn't actually happen in 1944. It's refreshing to see people of all races and at least two genders hanging out in headquarters, and I'm sure it would have helped the younger me feel less like an outlier in multiplayer. For this customization, World War II lets you choose a face rather than a preset gender. This is also a nice inclusive touch. So doubling back to Ren's thing here. The statement of play as something other than a white American male is derogatory, and there are much better ways it could have been worded. For example, in the same review, she mentioned seeing multiple races represented. As a white American male, I don't feel like that she's using a derogatory sense at all.
I don't understand why he is saying that it's derogatory.
I appreciate the few diverse characters that highlighted the work of soldiers and resistance groups other than white American men in World War II. I feel this is maybe just a lens issue.
It could also be a semantics thing.
And we're all interpreting the way she intended it to use. When I read that, I say she's saying it's good that we're highlighting these different people instead of the traditional white American men in World War II, which seems to be every fictional version or Band of Brothers or whatever I see is always told where the American troops were here. Like even Call of Duty World War II is, I'm the guy from Texas and I played football and I'm going to go out there with my boys.
There are many World War II stories out there and many, many of them, I would say far majority of them are from the white American male perspective.
And I would go as far as say definitely the majority of the mainstream ones you think of are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. And like the white American male had a huge role to play in World War II.
Yeah, we did.
And it was, I don't think that anyone's trying to trivialize that role.
Yeah.
I think she's just calling out an appreciation. She even uses the words, I appreciated the diverse characters that highlighted the work of soldiers and resistance groups other than those men, because while they did play a major role, there were other groups that played roles as well. And she's commending, you know, Activision and Sledgehammer for saying, hey, we want to make sure we don't forget about these other groups that also were important in the war. I don't understand what's derogatory about that.
Yeah, I don't take it as a derogatory term either. But again, I think it's different lenses and where we're sitting on that side. And in terms of also the statement of at least two genders carries the subtext of three or more. Both the state of California and now Germany recognize a third gender.
Well, it says that carries a subtext of there are more. And I think that that's
I apologize.
No, yeah, that's okay. I think what this comes down to is just an education issue of the concept of gender identity and fluid gender identity, and how the concept of gender is something that we as a culture are just starting to have open conversations about, though people who have identified as different types of gender have existed for quite some time. I think just now it's coming into the general lexicon of us as a culture to be like, okay, let's talk about what that concept means. And just because you have a very firm grasp on your personal gender identity doesn't mean that everybody does. And I think it's great that there are people who are dipping their toes into this water of like, let's maybe talk about what that means and maybe give options for people who have a fluid gender identity. And the idea that Call of Duty, a game that's so mainstream, has said, you know, you don't pick a gender, you pick a face. I think that that is something that's, as she mentions here, a nice inclusive touch.
Right.
Because they're not knocking you over the head with it, right? They're not trying to like cram this new perspective down your throat, which is like also like it's okay to be more inclusive and to include people who maybe have been left out on the sidelines. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, I would appreciate if my opinions were treated with the same respect as others. I understand that. I feel like we're to the point, though, also the statement of at least two genders carries a subtext of there are more. Again, there are legally represented three genders now, and I don't think that's going to be a movement that stops anytime soon. And even if you don't agree with that, I don't know how much of an opinion it is. Not to attack anybody, Ren or Miranda or anyone who identifies with a different gender, I think this goes back to what I've talked about on this show and multiple of our shows, and it's empathy of just putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. I remember when, and I'm talking about like in more recent times when this third gender debate started and people getting, you know, gender neutral bathrooms and stuff like that. My first reaction, I mean, you hear this, you see a headline, you do it, and I'm like, there's two genders. What are you talking about? And why do I say that? Because I have identified as a male from birth. I have a penis. This is how I've been taught. This is how I've learned. What are you talking about? And then I read one story, one quote, meet one person who is like, well, for me, it's fluid, or I don't do this. And it quickly becomes to me of like, Cool. I understand that. I understand what you're saying. And I can sit here as somebody who's been in play video games my entire life, that I enjoy being able to go in and choose what I want to choose in a video game and be done with it. And so for me to go in here, I wouldn't even notice this, probably playing Call of Duty and making a character. I'm going to choose the male face. I'm a male. I'm going. Whereas for this, it's for somebody who's been left out, who doesn't feel like they connect. Why they finally have a way to sit there and be like, oh, I'm not making a binary choice. And maybe the game developer, and I don't think this is the case, but maybe Sledgehammer didn't even think of it this way, didn't even think of it as being an inclusionary thing. They just wanted to go this way and make it simple. It doesn't matter. Someone is playing that and having and smiling and feeling like they're represented in a game and that somebody is speaking to them and not making them make a binary choice that doesn't matter to them. I don't have that problem. I haven't, and not that it's a problem. I don't have that issue. I've never faced that fight, but I can imagine that would be a pretty terrible fucking side of the screen to be on and feel like the world doesn't understand you. So for this decision that changes nothing for me in video games and just is, it makes people happy, fucking go do it. I don't understand the problem.
I've talked on this show previously about how I've been on a mission, like a personal growth mission for myself, to kind of embrace the attitude of you do you.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect me. It doesn't hurt anybody. And if it makes you feel better, you know what? It's okay. You do you.
Are you hurting anybody in this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and Ren, I would say to you, to maybe open your mind a little bit and look at it from a different perspective to say, maybe you grow up in a world where you have only known two genders, but I would say maybe try to take a second to put yourself in a position of somebody who maybe didn't have that comfort, that feeling, that rock solid knowledge of who they were as a person, and maybe they're struggling. And maybe it's okay for them to feel inclusive here, even though it goes against what you have known your whole life. And that's okay, because you know what? Them having a fluid gender identity does not affect your life at all in any shape. I think the fact that Call of Duty took the male or female choice out of the character selection is just a tiny little thing that helps some people, and that other people, it doesn't affect their life at all.
Yeah. And real quick too, I'm fired up obviously, but I want to shout out Ren. Thank you for a respectful question. Thank you for writing in. I hope you didn't feel like we were attacking you, going down your throat on this issue. It's obviously a hot button, and there's many different scales, and you wrote in respectfully, and I thank you for listening.
It's a complicated topic to discuss, you know, and there are unfortunately not enough people who are speaking out about this issue because they do feel attacked, and they do feel like there aren't a lot of safe spaces for them to come forward and talk about the concepts of gender identity. And luckily, we are getting to a point where that's becoming more and more prevalent, which is awesome, but it's still not enough. So I'm looking forward to having more conversations. I'm personally looking forward to being educated more about, you know, the discussion of gender identity. And I'm really glad that a property as large and as pervasive as Call of Duty was able to tackle this, even on a really minute scale.
Yeah. Moving on. Jeff writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, why are you all racist? No, I'm kidding. He says, hey! Sorry, I'm on the road and can't access yesterday's episode to know who's on today. It's Andrew Renee, the busiest lady in the business. Old school Assassin's Creed fan here who's been stuck on Unity for ages. I even have Syndicate bought and waiting, but I have yet to move on. My question is, do you think Assassin's Creed Origins is worth skipping ahead to play? I'm usually very particular, he says, read anal, about playing the things I order. But hearing the busiest woman in the business, Andrea, shout out to her, you rock, talk about it in the same breath as other games of the year has really piqued my curiosity. What do you say, kind of funny staff? Keep it up. Thanks for all you do.
The short answer is yes. Don't wait. Move ahead. Skip Syndicate.
Yeah.
You can always come back to that when you want to. I am going to definitively say that Origins is better than both Unity and Syndicate.
Got
like,
me.
Without question at all. It's clear that they've made some substantial improvements. I talk about this game at length in the What's Good Games podcast that goes live tomorrow morning, and how I'm really just blown away by the work across many different verticals on this game. It's wonderful. Don't wait. Start playing it tonight.
Kevin and I were talking about it, I think, yesterday, the fact that you sold us on it, of like going back and replaying it, of like, fuck, we want to start playing it right now based on everything you're saying. I think once I get through Call of Duty and come back probably from Extra Life this time around, I'll jump back into it. I'm going to finish up with Jason Das. Jason, longtime fan of Kind of Funny. What up? Writes in and says, hey, y'all. So with the recent Hollywood reaction to Kevin Spacey's allegations, films and productions are distancing themselves from him. Does the gaming industry... I'm sorry. You know what he says that? Should the gaming industry follow suit? particularly Activision. I checked today on the PlayStation Store, and I saw that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare was still available for purchase. What are your thoughts? Thank you, and keep up the amazing work. I think this is a moot point for Activision and for Call of Duty. I think that game's out. It's old news. It's three Call of Duties back, right? Because we have World War II now. Then we had Infinite Warfare. Wasn't there a Treyarch one before then? I'm forgetting.
No, he was in Advanced Warfare, right?
Well, wasn't that a Sledgehammer one? I thought Advanced Warfare was Sledge. Oh, there was Modern Warfare. No, Black Ops. Three. Because that would be the Treyarch one. Because there's the three studios, so they cycle off, right? So it would have been Treyarch, it would have been Infinity Ward, and now we're back to a Sledgehammer. So if it was Sledgehammer...
So this was 2014.
Okay. So what's the... Is it Black Ops 3?
That's no, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, where Kevin Spacey was
No, I know that. I'm sorry. And then after that came Black Ops 3, and then after that came...
Infinite Warfare.
Gotcha.
Okay. And now we're at World War II.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. No, I think this is a moot point. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
People aren't... the reactions, I mean, obviously, is all the stuff's happening. What are they going to do with House of Cards? Are they going to kill him off? There's that new movie. They're now refilming his scenes with somebody else. There's all these different things they're scrubbing, not putting in conferences and all these different... I don't see anybody going back and pulling American Beauty off the stores or whatever. I just watched Baby Driver off Amazon. Like, it's just one of those things like, ugh, this sucks.
Yeah, it's like the Cosby stuff. That stuff exists everywhere.
Right, exactly. I think
I'm just so disappointed
that people
I wanted
keep
him to
up.
Be a better human.
I like everybody to be a better human. That's the thing. Empathy and be a better human, everybody. You know what I mean? Speaking of being a better human, Greg Way, it's time to squat up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need people to play games with and what games you want to play. I read here, the best friends find you, everybody has a good time. We got a broad ranging one today. It's a shotgun approach. Drew writes in. He says he wants friends on all systems. His username on all the systems is Cutter28. That's KUTTER28. Why does he need help? And why does he want friends? He says, quote, because I'm not an asshole. Drew's not an asshole, everybody. Go friend Cutter28 on all systems. I would assume just PlayStation and Xbox. Steam, maybe. I guess Steam, he could be on Steam too. Yeah, okay. There's no crazy numbers after it, so it can't be Discord. Whatever fucking weird ass algorithm they use. Andrea,
yes.
What did we get wrong today?
Well, let's take a little look.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching live, your job is to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what facts we screwed up as we screwed them up. No editorializing. You're going to editorialize right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
That's true. Okay. The first one. So this is a You're Wrong, a year in the making.
Oh, Jesus, God.
From EchoX831. Whenever referencing the PS4 Pro benefits, you've mentioned the better Wi-Fi. The PS4 Slim, in fact, uses the same network components and was actually available for sale prior to the PS4 Pro. Sorry if it's out of left field. All of a sudden, I always was too lazy to write in. So, okay.
So, I'm sorry.
This is like a yes and no.
Is
like,
the internet better than my launch PlayStation 4 on the PlayStation 4 Pro?
It is.
Fuck you. You know what I mean? Checkmate, Kevin. Kevin, start the car. We're driving to this guy's house.
Capitalist Pig says, Call of Duty World War II does not start with any real or archival footage. The opening is in-game, but rendered in black and white. The style makes it look very authentic, but it's all
even
artificial.
Even the stuff going behind the logo when it's going, wow, all right. That's what I'm talking about. The game's beautiful.
Yeah, they did a great job. This is a good clarification because we didn't outright say it. Capitalist Pig again, small clarification because it could be misunderstood by some people. CD Projekt Red did not create the lore in the world of The Witcher 3.
Correct.
The Witcher games are a sequel to a series of books written by Polish author Andrzej.
Yeah, see, it's not so easy.
This one's hard,
is it?
Yeah. Sapkowski. CDPR just added and expanded on what was already existing. This is one of those things where I'm sure you might already know. But by the way, you made it sound. No, that's a good one. That's good. No, we didn't specifically clarify. People like Big Daddy Wolf, you think you're being clever, but that's not a you're wrong. Thank you. Capitalist Pig again. The grand opening of the Think Geek store in San Francisco was October 20th.
Oh, okay. So then I bought my PlayStation 4 Pro there. I just didn't catch the fact that it was like some kind of crazy Think Geek thing.
Yeah, they've got lots of
there's
swag.
Lots of stuff there. Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got one more page. Hold on.
Also, heads up, guys. PAX East tickets are on sale now. That's broken while we were doing this show.
So this is probably a good clarification to make because it does revolve around credit. So Boxes Best says, on the phones versus credit cards, these aren't the same at all. You're equating getting a loan with 0% interest on a single purchase with opening a line of credit and buying something that probably has 20 to 25% APR interest. With a phone purchase on a loan agreement, you could at any time return that phone and zero out your account, which is not true. There's a lot of fine print in those agreements. There are fees if you return it early. And a lot of the cases, you have to pay the rest of the remainder balance if you have like a Lisa, for example. So that's not true unless you got a screaming deal from someone. If you did, please let us know what that deal is. Yeah. So if you have hard times or want to upgrade, you can just give the phone back and your loan debt is wiped to zero. Now, advising what is probably most young adults at best to go open a GameStop credit card account, which is not what I was doing. I was not saying go there and open a credit card account. I'm saying if you want a line of credit, that option is available to you. For clarification for everybody listening, I was not endorsing opening a line of credit card specifically to buy a console. I'm saying if you want a way to pay it in installments, that is what lines of credit are for. That is why credit cards exist. So just so we're all clear here, I'm not pushing you to go get lines of credit because I get some kind of kickback from it. I use lines of credit to help me pay for large ticket items, and I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a responsible adult who knows how to manage your debt properly, that is what you need to do in order to get healthy credit and to get a better credit card rating so that one day maybe you can buy a house. Because guess what? You need to have a good credit score to even be considered for a mortgage. So these are important things that you need to think about when you're adulting in the world.
Get a credit card with cool rewards, though.
Yes, rewards are good.
Flyer miles or something. I don't know what we're going to do now that Virgin America is going out of business. Did I sign up for an Alaska credit card, Kevin? Why won't you do that? I'm not going to fly Alaska that much, am I? When are they getting the new planes? When are they getting... Virgin. But it's not going to be the same anymore.
Yeah, but it's the only option we have now.
It is the only option we have.
And he says getting a credit card that isn't offering 0% interest is not the same. And I specifically said, like, while the phone companies don't charge you interest, they charge you service fees, which is the truth. So I said that. But I appreciate you wanting to make sure that I clarified. So I've clarified.
So lastly, kids are canceling this credit card they're trying to sign up for right now.
I mean, obviously, always read all of the fine print before you sign or do anything, kids.
Nah, what's the worst
thing that's
happened?
The lesson here. Read the fine print. One release you missed yesterday from Adam Wells. Sony had released a second demo disc for PlayStation VR that you can download from the PS Store for free. And it includes demos for 12 VR games, including Tiny Tracks and Moss. Oh, I didn't know that.
I saw that, yeah, I saw it on, I think, Reset Era, the breakdown of it, but I couldn't find information on it, so I wasn't sure if it was coming soon or what, and I was like, you know what? Fuck VR. But Kevin, we need to play
that
VR.
That's an aggressive stance.
No, we like VR a lot here. It breaks my heart we can't get it to work in the studio anymore because of the fucking lights and shit. What we should do, Kevin, because we got a second VR. PlayStation sent us another VR, FTC, so we can do less multiplayer VR things. Especially this rec room shit. Mm-hmm. We should film them like we do the party modes, Kev. Where I'll be in the back room, you can be in the front room.
I have the VR closet, too.
The VR closet's not going to work for these games for you.
Maybe.
And it'll also be too dark in there for you.
No, it's perfect.
That's also my closet now. You haven't used it as a VR closet in a long time. Now I just keep my shirts in there.
That closet's too small for VR.
He has that racing wheel in there that he likes. No, racing
like,
cockpit.
You can't get the proper distance.
Don't argue with him. You just can't win because he's like a crocodile. He's just going to spin now forever and ever. And never
Kevin,
stop.
You know what? You do you.
If you do you,
if
Kevin.
You want to go sit in a really tiny closet and be in a virtual world.
Have you been in my office?
Yes, I have more than once.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before giving our perspective, answering your questions, reading your bad PSN names, setting you up with people to play games with, and having a good time because we're all best friends. If you like that, you can watch us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen on podcast services around the globe. I'm off to Maryland tomorrow to get ready for this Extra Life thing. Watch that all weekend long. I think we start at noon Eastern time on Saturday. It'll be hosted here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Tomorrow, Tim and Andy hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily. Kevin doesn't like that at all. He just shook his head.
It's going to be off the rails.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be like Morning Show Part 2.
No, everybody gets it that this is the serious show. Like they bring their A game for this. Will Andy wear a shirt and tie? Probably not. But I'll request it. I'm requesting it right now. Every
just
tweet
tell him
at,
to do his hair and it'll be fine.
Everyone tweet at Maximum Cortez and ask him to wear a shirt and tie for the show tomorrow. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.